Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program very remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, May 11, 2022. The UN mission in South Sudan says cases of sexual-related violence are on the rise in South Sudan.
With violence surging in several parts of the country, the UN mission in South Sudan urges the government to investigate human rights violations and abuses and to hold all perpetrators to account.
And health authorities in South Sudan say cases of meningitis have increased in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state.
We have suspected cases of meningitis reported in northern Bahr al-Ghazal.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations mission in South Sudan says despite a decrease in violence against civilians in the country, cases of conflict-related sexual violence have doubled compared to the same period last year. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
UNMISS says it has documented 63 cases of conflict-related sexual violence in January to March this year. The UNMISS report says during the first 3 months of 2022, its human rights division recorded more incidents of rape and deaths in South Sudan. UNMISS spokesperson Linda Tom says the government should take action to avert such abuses.
With violence surging in several parts of the country, the UN mission in South Sudan urges the government to investigate human rights violations and abuses and to hold all perpetrators to account. We also further encourage the swift and full implementation of the 3 April Agreement on a unified command and control structure and, of course, the graduation and deployment of necessary unified forces to enable South Sudan security sector to carry out the government's primary responsibility to protect civilians.
The UNMISS quarterly brief on the human rights situation in South Sudan assesses 4 major reforms of individual harm experienced throughout the conflict, that is to say, killing, injury, abduction, and sexual violence. The report says the proportion of people who were killed compared to the same reporting period last year decreased by 36% from 468 to 300, but the number of those injured increased by 45% from 184 to 266, and sexual violence increased by 125%. The number of abductions increased by about a third from last year to this year during the same time period. UNMISS reported that allegations of forced military recruitment of civilians remains a concern, especially those designed to boost troop numbers among signatories to the peace deal in areas surrounding cantonment and training sites. For example, UNMISS says it documented incidents of forced recruitment involving 15 individuals, including 9 boys, by the South Sudan People's Defense Force in Unity State. The report also said the holdout rebel group National Salvation Front, or NAS, abducted 125 civilians in Central Equatoria State for the purpose of forced recruitment. Tom says organized forces and a militia have been found to be responsible for most of the abuses.
Civil defense groups and militias accounted for most of the violence against civilians. That's about 64%. And this is followed by conventional parties to the conflict, which makes up about 34%. And the majority of violence was associated with intra-communal forms of conflict, particularly in Jonglei, eastern Equatoria, and the war states.
Intercommunal violence, particularly cattle-related conflict, was concentrated in areas where communities are competing for scarce resources, said Tom.
This situation is highly alarming and concerning, and the UN mission in South Sudan is continuing its extensive activities to prevent and respond to conflict areas. For example, in the first quarter of this year, the mission maintained 6 temporary operating bases and has conducted over 1,000 short-distance patrols. We're also conducting long-distance patrols and air patrols.
SSPDF spokesperson Major General Lulu Rai Kwong could not comment on the allegation, saying that the report does not specify exactly where the forceful recruitment was carried out by the SSPDF forces in Unity State. While Soba Samuel, the spokesperson of the National Salvation Front, denies the allegation, saying it is not true. The report says the UNMISS Human Rights Division took part in 216 patrols and 31 deployments to monitor violations of international human rights law. South Sudan is a party to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights and has ratified 3 international human rights treaties. Under this framework, South Sudan is legally bound to respect, protect, and promote the human rights of all people within its territory. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on UN matters, a new UN report says most South Sudanese are deeply skeptical that the 2018 peace agreement can deliver stability to South Sudan. The experts point to political dispute between former rivals now leading the government, President Salva Kiir, and first Vice President Riek Machar have affected much of the provisions of the peace deal signed more than 3 years ago as one of the main causes of the conflict in the country. My colleague Jackson Vonganye spoke with Henry Leju Kole, the coordinator for US-based South Sudanese academics and professionals, about the areas of progress in the country that were as a result of the 2018 revitalized agreement.
If you ask me about the 2018 agreement, I would say none. The agreement was designed to try to resolve the problem. And number one would be to deliver peace. Number two would be to deliver some specific content of some things that need to be done during the transition. But so far, the implementation of that agreement has dragged on. The agreement itself was not so good. That's why some people objected to it. It had a lot of holes in it. It was actually meant to empower Kiir and to undermine the opposition. And exactly that has played out. He's not intent on implementing it. And on the other hand, the opposition is not focused on calling him out. And so the focus of that agreement until now really has been on dishing out jobs, but not on implementing the purpose on which the agreement was intended for. And so because of that...
And what would you say are some of the main reasons why the 2018 peace agreement has not been fully implemented, like 3.5 years later? Given all the work that they put into it, what are some of the reasons why it has not been fully or successfully implemented yet?
You see, there are political and tribal intrigues behind this conflict of South Sudan. The major parties to this peace that was obtained by the liberation of South Sudan are basically two, those led by Salva Kiir and those led by Riek Machar. And I think each one has been gaining for domination of power. And when the chance came for South Sudan to go into elections in 2015, this rivalry surfaced. And obviously, Kiir would like to continue his domination. And Riek Machar thought it is his opportunity to take over power. And so that rivalry and the gaming for power still underlies this current agreement. What I see as the cause of the failure is that Kiir is not intent on actually implementing the key elements of the agreement because he does not want another internal rivalry. He does not really want Riek Machar and his forces to move in and then for equal powers to coexist where problems could again crop up another time. And the other dimensions that have come in too, which are economic, you know, I think there is a reason to perpetuate the conflict because there's a current looting of resources and mismanagement of the national resources to benefit individuals and enjoy that in the midst of the war.
Now, many political observers have said that peace in South Sudan hinges on the ability of the government to unify the armies or the forces representing the various political factions. In fact, less than a month ago, President Kiir announced the creation of a unified armed forces command. Would you agree that implementing this key provision of the 2018 peace agreement is the solution to achieving lasting peace in South Sudan?
I don't know, and I don't think so. I mean, for people that have been really very observant and having the interest of the people in South Sudan, we have seen these things play out. The government will do one thing at a time just to confuse people and please them. Then it will take its time until it again pinches on another thing. And most of this has been really the doling out of jobs, okay? Now there's this pressure about the unification of the forces. So it does this initial thing. That does not mean the forces will be unified. When it actually gets unified is when we will know that it would have been implemented. But until then, I just think that this is part of the gimmickry that people should have gotten used to and should know exactly what is happening. Because I think bringing in the opposition forces into the fold of the National Army is one of the number one things that probably the president is not very happy and excited about. And the opposition should, of course, already know that. From my point of view, they're very desperate for being accommodated in any way possible. And so I can tell you that nothing is going to happen. The current maneuver is to try to justify elections, just to let the international community know that they have done something and possibly to receive support for conducting elections. But the end result of the elections are predictable. Any savvy person, any person with the interest of the people in heart know that it will be for the purpose of bringing the same people back. Period.
That's Henry Lejukule, coordinator for the US-based South Sudanese Academics Professionals. He spoke with my colleague Jackson Vunganyi. Health officials in South Sudan are expressing concern about an increase in meningitis cases in South Sudan's northern Bahar Ghazal state. The Director General for Preventive Health Services at the National Ministry of Health says the government has dispatched a medical team to northern Bahar Ghazal. Sheila Pony reports for VOA from Juba.
Dr. John Rumuno, Director General for Preventive Health Services at the Ministry of Health, tells South Sudan in Focus, health officials are concerned about a recent spike in suspected cases of bacterial meningitis across five counties of northern Bahar Ghazal state.
We have suspected cases of meningitis reported in northern Bahar Ghazal. As of week 18 of this year, the suspected cases has reached 176 cases with 16 deaths, and that gives us a case fatality rate of 9%.
Cases of meningitis have been identified in northern Bahar Ghazal state, but Dr. Rumuno said Tuesday that more samples are still needed to confirm if the number of confirmed cases can be considered a full-on outbreak.
Since we identified Streptococcus pneumoniae, and also we identified Neisseria meningitis, but in a very limited samples, we at least need to have 10 samples of Neisseria meningitis for us to qualify this as an outbreak that needs vaccination.
Meningitis can be caused by various childhood diseases such as measles and transmitted through respiratory droplets. Meningitis can be caused by various child diseases such as measles and transmitted through respiratory droplets or throat sectories from close and prolonged contact with an infected person. The symptoms of the potentially deadly disease are fever, headache, a stiff neck, nausea, and if lack of appetite, similar to other diseases such as malaria. Meningitis causes inflammation of the fluid and membranes surrounding the brain and spinal cord and can be fatal within 24 hours. According to the World Health Organization, the bacterial form of meningitis can cause large epidemics. Dr. Rumuno says Africa is most vulnerable to recurrent outbreaks.
There is a region called meningitis belt, and this type of meningitis is common in these areas. And South Sudan falls within this meningitis belt.
Bacterial meningococcal meningitis threatens the lives of 450 million people across 26 countries in Africa's meningitis belt, which stretches from Senegal in West Africa to Ethiopia in East Africa. Rumuno says meningitis has taken a devastating toll on children for more than a century.
Most cases are reported among children age 15 and above, and less than 1 year. And death up to 22% occurred in infants less than 1 year, with risk of death decreasing with increasing age.
In 2016, South Sudan launched the first Men Afrivac immunization campaign against meningitis, which reached more than 4 million men, women, and children in central Equatoria, eastern Equatoria, Warap, Western Bahar Ghazal, Northern Bahar Ghazal, and Lake State. Insecurity across the country forced the effort to close. World Health Organization has approved a roadmap for what it calls a meningitis-free world by 2030, but says that will require disease surveillance, prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and advocacy. South Sudan health authorities recently declared outbreaks of three diseases in Warap State, including measles, rubella, and anthrax. Health officials have also confirmed an outbreak of cholera in Unity State. For VOA News, I am Sheila Pony in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, authorities in Warap State say calm has returned to the area. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best advice you have ever gotten?
I got an advice from my mom. She encouraged me to work hard. That she told me, and a very successful woman is a very hardworking woman.
The great one I can remember is the one my father gave to me, to study hard. Actually, he was on his, I can say, maybe a deathbed. He was so ill. He had a stroke and was so helpless. He couldn't do anything for me. That was the last day I even saw him. It was like, my son, study hard.
Is from my father. He has always told me that I shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and to take up new challenges, because he said that you're only afraid to take up new challenges when you haven't tried it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Authorities in Warap State say calm has returned to the area following deadly fighting, which left 25 people killed and more than a dozen injured this week. The Warap State Information Minister says the clashes erupted in Gamdang cattle auction market between armed youth from Mayom County of Unity State and their counterparts from Gogurial East. Dengai Deng has more for VOA from Juba.
Gogurial East County Commissioner Maluach Malueth says 21 people were killed, including 14 from his area, and at least 12 others were wounded during fighting that broke out on Sunday between armed young men from his county and cattle traders who crossed from neighboring Mayom County in Unity State to sell their cattle.
When two people agree on a sale, they come to a point where they can register. And at that registration point, the guy from the Warap State decided to change his mind and said they should share the registration. And I think the person from the other side, the owner of the cow, did not accept that. Different things happened, and I think it should have happened. And many lives have been lost because in that commotion, people dispersed in disarray. And of course, a shooting was initiated from the other side.
Mayom County Commissioner Chual Gadluak confirms the dispute led to a gun battle, saying 7 people were killed and 11 others injured from Mayom, but insist it was not a battle between young people from different counties.
This fight was between the traders, it's not between the people of Gabriel and the people of Mayom. This is what I have been telling the people here on my side, so that the situation doesn't escalate. I'm telling the people that let the government of two areas see into this issue.
Commissioner Malweth says he tried to stop the operations of the market due to its likelihood to cause conflict, but the people from Mayom County are compelled by economic conditions to continue sell their cattle in exchange for much-needed grain and other necessities. The crowded market often attracts people from Western Bharat Ghazal, Unity and Warawi states. Malweth ordered local authorities to temporarily close the Gamdang cattle auction market while security forces try to stabilize the situation. He says no suspects have been arrested so far.
All we are trying to do first is to maybe ensure the return of people who are missing to their normal places. On my side, there are some women ran to the other side, and they spoke back to their people here, and we are organizing with authorities of the other side to facilitate their return. And the same thing I have also heard, that there are also people from that end that came here. They ran this way, and I'm here now to get them, to locate them and come in my presence.
Malweth offered his condolences to the families of those who lost loved ones in the fight and says security officers from his county are working with authorities in Mayom County to ensure there is peaceful coexistence between the two communities. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
The World Health Organization is urging African governments to pay more attention to climate change as a health issue. It says 3 million people a year are dying as a result of increased climate-related events on the continent. Vicky Stack has more from Cape Town.
WHO's Regional Director for Africa, Dr. Machidiso Moeti, says the theme of World Health Day 2022, Our Planet, Our Health, could not be more timely.
Another UWHO study has found that of the more than 2,000 public health events recorded in the African region in the decade up to 2021, more than half were climate-related. During the same period, the region experienced 25% more climate-related events compared to the previous decade.
World Health Day is marked annually on April 7. Machidiso says the statistics serve as a strong reminder of the importance of being able to maintain the response to other health priorities in Africa, especially in the face of threats like COVID-19.
The entire foundation of good health is in jeopardy, with increasingly severe climatic events deepening Africa's health crises. For example, our analysis found that waterborne diseases, mainly due to cholera outbreaks, accounted for 40% of climate-related health emergencies in the past 20 years. In Africa, diarrheal diseases are the third leading cause of death and illness in children younger than 5, which could be preventable with safe drinking water, adequate sanitation and hygiene, and of course, vaccination.
She urged governments to take immediate action and for funds to be made available to fight climate change.
I'd like to take this opportunity to call on African governments to prioritize human well-being in every strategy and decision, to halt new fossil fuel exploration and subsidies, to institute taxes for polluting firms, and to implement the WHO air quality guidelines, for example. Although Africa contributes the least to global warming, the continent bears a disproportionate burden of the consequences.
The briefing also focused on the coronavirus, with the WHO saying so far there have been 11.5 million reported cases and 250,000 deaths on the continent. But Machadisa says a new analysis of other studies, which is now being reviewed, indicated that the true number of infections could be as much as 97 times higher than the number of reported confirmed cases. This suggests that more than two-thirds of all Africans have been exposed to the COVID-19 virus.
Our analysis is clear evidence of the continued significant circulation of the COVID-19 virus among the people on the continent. With this comes a heightened risk of more lethal variants that can overwhelm existing immunity.
Machidiso says it's up to everyone to promote and support multi-sectoral interventions that address the threat of climate change while helping to better prepare African countries for future health shocks like the COVID-19 pandemic. Vicky Stark for VOA News, Cape Town, South Africa.
We move to Somalia, where a police spokesperson says a suicide blast near Mogadishu Airport, which is the site of Sunday's presidential election, has wounded 7 people. Other police sources say at least 3 people, including 2 security personnel, were killed. Mohammed Dasani reports from Mogadishu, Somalia.
Somali police say at least 7 people were wounded Wednesday when a suicide bomber blew himself up at a security checkpoint near Mogadishu's international airport. Somali police spokesman Abdi Fattah Aden Hassan told journalists the attack targeted a senior military general who was in an armed vehicle. He says the suicide bomber targeted vehicles backing at the checkpoint. Among them was General Garvey, says Hassan. But he survived. 7 people were injured in the attack, he says, and were transferred to Medina and Dikfer hospitals for treatment. Somali police source told VOA 3 people were killed in the attack, including 2 security personnel. Al-Qaeda-affiliated militant group Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the suicide bombing in their affiliated media. Al-Shabaab has been fighting against Somali government and African Union mission in Somalia since 2007. The attack comes 4 days ahead of Somalia's long-delayed presidential election on Sunday. Members of parliament will meet at a fortified airport compound to choose the next president. A record 39 candidates have registered for the election, including incumbent Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed, known as Farmajo. Somali elections were delayed over a year because of disputes over the process and political wrangling that saw Farmajo try to extend his term in office. Mohamed Daisane for VOA News, Mogadishu, Somalia.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now end this show with Crazy Fox and the song Anna Guide.
We have been listening to Crazy Fox and the song Anna Guide. And I would like to tell Crazy Fox, I'm John Tanza in Washington, Anna Guide. Thanks for taking your time to be with us. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
I'm a guy, so I can look at life, suppose, and now.